You've all heard of Morningstar, I'm sure. You may have heard of my next guest as well, Christine Benz. Christine is Morningstar's Director of Personal Finance and the author of 30-Minute Money Solutions, a step-by-step guide to managing your finances, and the Morningstar Guide to Mutual Funds. Hey, Christine, welcome back.
Steve, great to be here.
Hey, the last time I saw you, we were on a panel for the Money Show in Orlando a few years ago. It's great to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you too, Steve.
All right, so today I want to talk about one of the most important questions I'm asked constantly by clients and listeners alike, and it comes from those who are entering retirement. They want to know, when I retire, what is the safest amount of money I can take from my savings or my portfolio so my money won't run out and I'll be able to keep pace with inflation? Why don't you start the discussion?
Yeah, it's a very common question, as you said, Steve, and it's one that will really be central to whether your retirement plan succeeds or fails. So the problem is, we don't know when we embark upon our retirements what the market's going to be during our retirement years. We could hit a period where stocks and bonds perform really well and inflation is benign, mm-hmm. or we could hit kind of a terrible convergence like we had in the early 1970s or even the late 1960s, where you had high inflation, you had bond yields that went up and that crunched bond prices. And then in 1973-74, you had a terrible stock market crash.
Yeah.
So you could be that unlucky person who embarks on retirement in that time frame or something like that time frame, in which case you would have to take a much lower withdrawal rate from your portfolio than the person who encountered the good environment. So the problem is, we just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, most people, when they retire, they want a steady paycheck similar to the one that they were receiving when they were working. And, you know, there's also been a lot of research trying to figure out what the correct percentage of the value of the portfolio would be proper. Some, you know, years ago, 4% was quoted after some research was done to be one that would keep pace with inflation and allow a portfolio to last throughout a lifetime. But as you mentioned, you know, this stable idea is kind of tough because markets change, your spending conditions change. It's an environment that's always in flux. So let's start simply, you know, if I want a steady paycheck, I suppose I can get one. But, you know, when you were working too, your paycheck wasn't necessarily guaranteed either. Some years, perhaps you had to take less, some years more. How would you go about it?
Yeah, I still think the 4% guideline is a reasonable starting point, but it's important to understand what that means. And some retirees think that that means that they're going to take 4% of their balances year in and year out of retirement. And what you can see is that if you're using that strategy, if you're just taking that 4%, you are going to be buffeted around a lot by whatever's going on in the market. So when stocks are down, that means that, guess what? You can't go to the movies anymore. You can't go out to dinner.
You might
need to radically tighten your belt. That's why most financial planners say don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't employ a fixed percentage method, because who wants their standard of living really changing a lot from year to year based on mm-hmm. what the market's doing? So the 4% research started with this idea, which you stated, Steve, which is that most people want a stable standard of living. So you take 4% of your balance in year one of retirement, and then you inflation adjust that dollar amount as the years go by to help keep up, to keep your cost of living stable or to keep your spending stable.
So if you have $1 million, you're taking out $40,000, let's say the first year, and no matter what the portfolio is worth, you're taking out $40,000 plus inflation the following year?
Right. So assuming inflation is, say, 3%, mm-hmm. then you would give yourself a little nudge up, you'd be like at 41,200.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Okay.
So that's the basic idea, but it's important to understand that that 4% research, which has looked back in market history to sort of look at what would the worst market environment that you had encountered, what sort of withdrawal rate would that support? That's where 4% comes from. It's important to remember it does assume that you have at least a balanced portfolio, so something like a 60% equity weighting, 40% bond weighting. It also assumes that you're planning for like a 25 or 30 year time horizon.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people saying today that with interest rates so incredibly low and the stock market high, that future returns, at least in a foreseeable future, are going to be lower, and maybe the 4% rule is not going to work anymore. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of my colleagues, David Blanchett, worked on some research with co-researchers, and they looked at this specific thing, that the raw materials for good bond returns just aren't there, because we think of starting yields as a pretty good predictor of what bonds might return over the next decade. Well, look at where we are today. Mm-hmm. You know, we're lucky to earn 2% on some sort of a core bond fund. So their research kind of poked at the 4% rule and said, if you have a sizable allocation to bonds, you may want to tighten your belt a little bit. That in fact, the fact that bond returns are apt to be low means that maybe you need to take more like 3% or 3.5% to have a pretty good probability of outliving your money.
I want to just make one point. The other aspect too is that spending changes throughout your lifetime. When you first retire, there's a tendency to spend more. And then as you age, you start spending less. And then towards latter age, spending picks up again for healthcare related issues. So spending isn't really the same across the board either, right?
That's right. And it's such an important point. I mean, most of us know, if we manage our household budgets, that you have some years where you have heavier spending, either due to good reasons, like you're paying for a wedding or you're doing some travel, or you know, you need a new roof and you happen to need a new car in that same year. So our spending needs change. And as you mentioned, that life cycle that's specific to retirees is that you have what has been called the go-go years, the slow-go years, and the no-go years. Mm-hmm. And many of us have experienced this with our parents or other loved ones, that this is kind of the trajectory that their lives have followed, where they might slow down in their mid to late 70s and then may encounter some expensive health conditions, specifically long-term care needs later in life.
I saw a report not too long ago. Generally speaking, spending declines about 1% a year. Now, that's on average. It doesn't actually happen in a stair-step kind of way. But at age 65 versus age 85, your spending is actually being reduced by about 20%. Do you see the same type of data in your work?
Yeah, there have been some research studies that have looked at specifically this issue. An open question is whether the spending is tailing off because the retiree wanted to spend less, or is it possible that the retiree felt some concern that, oh, look, I'm 85 now, I could live to be 95. I'm a little worried about prematurely depleting my assets. So that's kind of something to keep an eye on as well. But some of the studies have actually looked at the same couples and attempted to kind of back out that problem and have found that, in fact, spending does generally tail downward over retirees' life
cycle. You know, we look at things in a much more sophisticated way. I think these 4% rules or these rules of thumb, while they're good to kind of get an initial understanding of how things work, I mean, a lifetime, you know, you mentioned before, expenses occur, good expenses, bad expenses. You know, we set priorities in our life. You know, no matter how much money you have, you still have to prioritize things. Nobody has infinite amounts of money. So we look at it kind of like a GPS system where we're doing probability analysis and we're saying, you know, what are you spending? What are you projected to spend? What is your portfolio projected to earn? And then we actually put in the reality of the situation on a regular basis. And we get this kind of GPS tracking thing going where, you know, a GPS will tell you, hey, it's going to take you 20 minutes to get, you know, from point A to point B. Well, that's a probability analysis, looking at traffic and road conditions and so on. And we do kind of the same thing with, you know, our analysis. Isn't that really a better way of going about this idea of tracking on a real-time basis throughout your lifetime?
I think it is. And you bring up a really important point, Steve, which is that all of the research that has come out in the past few years has pointed to the value of being willing to look at what's going on with your portfolio, with the market, and being willing to do some course corrections.
Yeah.
So if you encounter that really lousy market, and frankly, I think that people who are perhaps just embarking on retirement today need to be prepared that we could have some sort of equity market shock over the next 5 or 10 years. And encountering those lousy market environments very early in retirement, that's the thing that can kill a retirement plan. So if you can be flexible, if you encounter that lousy environment, take your spending down during those years, that'll greatly improve the sustainability of your plan.
My guest, Christine Benz, Morningstar's Director of Personal Finance. Thanks so much for joining us once again, Christine.
Thank you, Steve.
And don't forget to hear this segment again. You can go to our website, which is stevepomerantz.com. And why don't you come to the site, sign up for our weekly update, and ask us some questions. We love that. stevepomerantz.com.